Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Forkville.
Okay.
It was, well, Foot is right above Forkville on this little list here. And my eyesight failed me for a second there.
The Foot and the Forks.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get some, I don't know where coffee would line up with that, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, you stir coffee with a spoon, so
it's yeah, like a, not with your foot.
And you eat and drink, but you put it in your hand. You shouldn't be using your foot.
Correct.
So, well, wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Make your New Year's resolution this year to have a steak each and every week. Robbie's going to have a steak tomorrow, apparently. He's got me. I got to go get some lunch. Some dinner tomorrow night, and I'm quite sure that beef will be on the menu for Robbie.
Let's hope that this place is open.
We have a bad luck of trying to do this around this time of year.
But one time, no offense to Uno Mas, but I had to settle on that being my dinner because it was we were already
everything
down.
Else was closed. Yeah,
yep. We'll see. We love Uno Mas.
We love Uno Mas.
But I had my mind on a steak.
I get it. We're gonna make it happen. Don't worry. This new year, the year 2026, make that the year of the cow. I don't know what the actual Chinese New Year is for this year, but make it the year of the cow. Enjoy beef in 2026. Beef is what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Guys, you know we love the interlocking. We know we love the state script here on this show. But we are getting closer and closer to opening day, and that is the time for the M over S. So if you haven't got your M over S polos, pullovers, hoodies, T-shirts, whatever it is, and, of course, the classic Mississippi State baseball cap, College Corner has it all. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to the good people at Priority One Bank, a bank that knows you by name, not by account number, a bank that's going to take care of you and provide you with the financial support that you need. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
It is the year of the horse.
I don't like to eat horse.
No, I don't. I've
never eaten horse, and I don't know that I ever will. But I will eat cow.
So. There you go.
You know, this is a college football playoff, a college football podcast. But that being said, if people could have heard, we just had a fantastic NFL discussion before we got this thing started. Right? It's so funny that Robbie is so down on his team right now when they win and get into the playoffs.
It's because I've seen this movie for the last 20 years under Mike Tomlin.
Right. No, I get that. But what I was going to say is, like, you're so down on your playoff team. I'm over here so excited about the Saints, man. I was like, I can't wait for next season. We've got the quarterback. We've got it. Done it.
Yeah, y'all have got a – I saw the picture today, the meme. Uh-huh. My buddy sent in our group message the meme of John Daly and Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And it was 6-10.
Yeah.
Chiefs was Tiger Woods and John Daly was the
6-10 Saints. Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other, brother.
We're having a great time.
We have really seen a different Saints team since you and I were in the suites.
So we went to New Orleans and watched them play maybe the worst game they've played this season against the Falcons. They could not move the football. And then since then, you know, they've been great, and I'm really excited about the future. And then there's Robbie, who's just over there like 9-8, huh? Just we've done it again.
I mean, it's just like since 2000 and what was that? 2010, the year they went and they played Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in the Super Bowl. It's just been
It's just every year the
like it's
thing.
just the same thing every year. I mean, we have not won a playoff game in years. Win the division every now and then, but then lose in the first round. We'll lose in a wild card round. And every big game that pops up, the Steelers lose, it feels like. And we lose to the Browns all the time. Like when we have an opportunity to just clinch something. This was a 3-win Cleveland team.
Yeah, they're
Now,
bad. They're not good.
their pass defense is really good, and they have one of the best pass rushers ever. But yesterday was like inexcusable with the Browns. Like we missed a field goal. We went for it on 4th and 1 in field goal range and threw the football. It's just it feels like it's rigged. Like I don't see another way around it. And then we'll go 9-8. We'll miss the playoffs, and we'll continue to brag. Not me, but people will continue to brag about Mike Tomlin never having a losing season. And if he leaves, somebody's going to hire him up. Like
Take the risk.
I love Mike Tomlin. I love what he's done. He's been one of the most consistent coaches ever. But we're not getting anything out of this. And DK Metcalf, like doing what he did, is could quite
Really hurt
possibly
y'all.
we would have won yesterday with DK
I think so,
Metcalf.
yeah. All right.
So I need this to happen because if they win, I will be in Pittsburgh for round one.
Yes.
So
I want that to happen for you. So we recorded our podcast, the Monday podcast, on Saturday, and we say, if anything big happens, we'll do. I made the joke if Levy says I quit, something like that, right? Some big stuff happened to the point where I thought about texting you, but I said, the hell with it. We'll cover it today. And that's Mississippi State continuing to make some additions to the coaching staff and some interesting additions. And we'll start on the offensive side of the ball with Kevin Johns, who is a guy that if you follow, if you're a message board guy, that was a name that was really thrown out there a lot a couple years ago when Arnett was the head coach. That was the guy potentially that State would like to have seen as the offensive coordinator. Was very successful at Duke with Mike Elko there, and this past year was working as the quarterbacks coach, I believe, for Oklahoma State. Now, say what you want about how Oklahoma State has been run these past couple of years. Mike Gundy is a guy who knows offense and is a good offensive coach. And so if he brings a guy like that on board, that's a good spot for his resume. Listed as an assistant coach offense. So I've come to the conclusion, I was reading on three last night, reading some of your posts. I think you're right. I think Bush Hamdan is going to end up being the wide receivers coach. And that would mean Johns is probably going to be your quarterbacks coach, which obviously Bumpus is gone. It would mean that Holasek is being reassigned or maybe he's going to get let go. But that's where I feel like this is headed for Mississippi State, because neither one of these guys have official titles yet. You've got assistant coach offense, assistant head coach offense for these guys. Not that's set in stone, but that's where I think you're correct in how that's going to end up getting lined up.
yeah, and it's kind of just a guess for me. I mean, I don't know for sure, but
Right.
you have two of these coaches that have now been named assistant offensive coaches or whatever. And I just have a hard time believing Jeff Lebby's just going to have these guys kind of sitting in the background.
Right, these
No.
aren't analysts.
No. And Kevin Johns, I think it's very clear. I've been reporting for weeks that I don't expect Matt Holichak to return to Mississippi State. And so I think it's pretty clear at this point that Kevin Johns, after the bowl game, is probably going to step in and coach quarterbacks, which, by the way, Kevin Johns and Jeff Lebby coaching Kamario Taylor, that's what a win for Kamario Taylor to have two of these guys that have developed and coached and recruited great quarterbacks over the years. That's a heck of a duo to be able to work on Kamari Taylor and fix whatever he might need fixing, which there's a, to me, probably a small list, but these guys have a microscope on some things that they need to fix with Kamari Taylor to make him a potential Heisman candidate. And this is a guy in Kevin Johns that we talked about when Jeff Levy was hired as a potential offensive coach that everybody was excited about. This is a tremendous hire. And if Bush Hamdan is your wide receivers coach, I think
You
that,
listed some of the talent he's worked with.
well, I mean, I just want say that I feel like people look at what he did as an offensive coordinator and it tarnishes his career.
I think people need to be smarter and say no offensive coach has ever done. Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky and wasn't
They weren't very
successful.
good. They weren't very good
He's
then.
got Jacksonville on the poise to be the 2 seed in the playoffs.
Yeah, like I feel like people are just completely glossing over the fact that Kentucky has sucked at offense for a
Yeah.
long time. But this guy has been wide receivers coach at Florida. He was hired as the wide receivers coach by Steve Sarkisian, one of the best offensive minds in college football. Twice he was with Sarkisian. He was at Washington and he was at Atlanta. He was at Missouri wide receivers coach as well for 2 years. So this guy has worked with receivers. How many guys that we have mentioned as a potential wide receivers coach on the message board? We haven't talked a whole lot about those
Right.
guys here, but on the message board, there's been a bunch of names thrown around. How many guys have a better resume than Bush Hamden? Like, say what you want to about Kentucky or whatever offensively, but if you were strictly hiring a wide receivers coach, and again, I do not know if this is the direction Mississippi State goes. I'm just speaking hypothetically here about a possibility. Because to me, it just kind of lines up that way. You have a guy already hired. We've been wondering who's the wide receivers coach. Could it be that Bush Hamden was brought in for this purpose and they were waiting for Chad Bumpus and they just, this whole thing messed up the timeline and they're just letting this play out in the bowl game? I don't know. But to me, it makes the most sense.
Right.
There could be someone else. There could be another wide receiver coach. I'm just spitballing, throwing some things around. Out of the guys that we've mentioned, I think Cale Gundy is a guy that was mentioned that would probably have a comparable or better resume, probably a better resume
Yeah.
with what he did. But he's not even coaching right now. So
Right.
the hypotheticals, the guys that are available, there aren't many people right now available that we've talked about that have a better resume than Bush Hamden. He's worked for multiple Power Four teams. He's worked in the NFL. If you talk to people within the coaching industry, and I've talked to a few guys there, and I've talked to a few people that have covered Bush Hamden, and they say that he is one of the best guys in the business. He is a really good developer, evaluator, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends. He's worked for tight ends. If that is the guy that you hire at wide receivers, I think that that's a great hire.
Great hire, yeah.
And you put Hamden in there, you put Kevin Johns in that room, you have Jeff Lebby in there. You essentially have three Power Four offensive coordinators coaching positions or coaching the offense.
Right.
And then Anthony Tucker has been arguably State's best assistant to this point. John Cooper, I think, is making headway. I like what he brought in at tight end. He's got a chance to upgrade the room tremendously in the offseason if he can get a good tight end out of the portal. But that remains to be seen. The only question mark at that point is load hold on the offensive line. And
Right.
that's a major question point. That's a room that has to be better.
Right.
But everything that you and I have both been told is Mississippi State is willing to spend big, big, big money on offensive and defensive line. So they will have an opportunity to upgrade that room. But from a coaching perspective, if Hamden is your wide receivers coach and if Kevin Johns is your quarterback's coach, and even just having Hamden in there, helping with the offense, I think is good.
Right.
That's an upgraded side of the ball. I don't think there's any question about it.
It's kind of interesting to see how State has found these experienced guys on offense when, Lebby is the play caller, right?
Yeah.
Offensively, if you wanted to take some chances with some young guys there, you feel like guys you feel like have high ceilings, I wouldn't have been against it because I've been like, well, it's still Lebby's offense. He's still running the show. And receivers, are going to want to play for him. He's got the quarterback. He'll be fine there. Tucker will get you some receivers. And what you said about the offensive line is true. I feel like with NIL, people are so skeptical, and I get it, man. The results have not borne out that the state's been good in NIL. But I seriously will tell you to your face that State last year didn't lose any prospects because of money. They lost prospects because they couldn't recruit those guys. And when money's out there from everybody, even if it's not a sizable difference, yeah, I'm sure they could have made some Godfather offers and gotten some guys in here. And you might ask why they didn't do that. That's a fair question. But I think this year, State at least has shown some improvement. They're not coming off a 2-10; they're coming off a 5, hopefully 6-7. I think they'll be more successful there. And I'm interested. I thought Lodeholt going out and getting Blake Steen and Javen James in the second portal window with that limited time frame. I mean, he got a couple of guys who were able to start. Steen would have started the whole year if he hadn't gotten hurt, and I think James would have been a valuable reserve at the very least, but he probably would have ended up starting some games as well because Reese couldn't stay healthy. I'm willing to let this guy have a go in the portal and see what happens, and you'll reevaluate next year. The problem with Lebby, obviously, is you talk about reevaluating next year. There may not be a next year if you're missing some things. The other side of the ball is where I thought you wanted to get more proven guys because you need to get better there, much better. And the State has kind of done the opposite. Mississippi State has hired defensive line coach Ty Warren from Rice. Now, Ty Warren has had a very long, productive NFL career. Good football player for a number of years, and won some Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, which I'm sure will hurt Robbie's feelings just a touch. But not and because of a long NFL career, got into coaching late, right? Didn't just go straight from playing football into coaching. So he doesn't have the longest resume in the world. He doesn't have that proven track record of recruiting top players. Yet he is now Mississippi State's defensive line coach. Were you surprised when you learned that that was going to be the hire?
Not really. I reported last week that he was in consideration for it. They were also after Brian Williams, who is the defensive coordinator at Jacksonville State. I
Right.
reported that as well. And I wasn't quite sure if it was a situation where they were trying to get both of those guys, and he was going to be the assistant or the defensive line coach, but I did know that he was in the mix. And so it wasn't a big shock, and we've talked about him on the board a little bit, but I had that big story where I kind of mentioned him a little bit last week, on Christmas Eve, so it wasn't a shock. I think what it really boiled down to is it was more of kind of like a Warren versus Williams deal, and Jeff Lebby and Zach Arnett felt like the upside was greater with Ty Warren, and no, he has not proven anything to this point. But they like the profile that he has. They like the fact that he played in the league, that he played at Texas A&M, and was a Hall of Fame caliber player at Texas A&M, and
Yes.
then he had a great career at New England,
An all pro.
where he was an all pro for a season. He won two Super Bowls. He was a part of that rise for them.
Part of their all dynasty team.
Correct. And after that, he's kind of slowly dipped into coaching, and now he's just kind of jumped in with 2 feet.
Right.
He started off in the NFL kind of working as a volunteer assistant, and he
Right.
also was part of that program where, like, the young coaches program that they have, working with the Lions. And then he started working at the XFL for a little bit. But he's only been in coaching now for, I think, 6 years.
Started in 2019.
So this is fairly new to him. College coaching is very new to him. This is his third year. He's making a quick rise. So I understand the trepidation by Mississippi State fans, but it's more of a we don't know yet than anything that he's proven. He hasn't proven to us that he's a bad coach. He hasn't proven to us that he can't recruit. So I don't understand saying it's a bad hire. Some people use the word atrocious and things like that. I mean, it's just like this is too early to say that. Now, what I will get on board with you about, if you are against this hire, is Jeff Lebby has to win next year. And you can't afford to hire a lot of guys that don't have a lot of notoriety to this point, that haven't really proven a lot. You can't afford that. But he's taking a gamble here on a guy that has a good pedigree, that profiles as a potential really good defensive line coach. He just hasn't shown it yet. The one thing I'll say is he's probably going to have some help on the defensive line coaching. And also, I'll push back a little bit on the idea that they haven't added proven guys. Zach Arnett is
and Brock
a
super proven.
major upgrades.
Yeah.
I believe Kevie Thompson and his role will be beneficial for Mississippi State as well. And I still think they're going to make a change at safeties. We'll see how that works out after the game. I just don't see it making sense for Matt Barnes to stay.
Right.
So we'll see on the safeties. There's a chance that this defensive staff could be significantly better than what we saw, even with Ty Warren being unproven.
And even with Corey Bell existing?
Yeah, even with Corey Bell still being there as well. I expect that Kevie Thompson is going to be pulling a lot of weight in that room.
Which is ridiculous. You have to admit that it's ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. If you have to hire people around someone to keep them employed, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, just change.
So we got Paul Rhodes in there that's doing a lot of the coaching, and we're giving Kevie Thompson a lot of the recruiting. What is the reason that Corey Bell is still here? That's the problem that the fan base has.
Feels like we just have to sit down from Office Space. Like, what is it you say you do here?
Like, I mean, legitimately, it's hard to find things that Corey Bell has accomplished at this point to say, okay, he needs to stick around. The only thing that is giving him a little grace is, like I reported last week as well, there is a line of thinking that his relationship with Kelly Jones could bring Kelly Jones back for another season. And you know my stance on the roster stuff.
Right.
I don't think that you keep a coach, you hire a coach,
right,
fire a coach, whatever, based on a roster.
The program is bigger than one year's roster.
It is. But on this, I will give a but on this. You have one side of the field that on nearly every play you feel confident it's going to be cut down. If you have that guy, you have to do everything in your power to keep him.
You can't really replace him.
No, you can't. There's nobody
not
in
a
the
corner like that in the
There is no one in the portal that I feel confident Mississippi State could go get. Now, if Kevie Thompson or somebody had a relationship with someone that you could guarantee you have a potential first-round draft pick coming in, then, yeah. But for next season, having the ability to have someone like Kelly Jones that's probably going to be a first-round pick next year if he comes back,
yeah,
you have to do what you can to keep him. And if Kelly is saying, I only stay if Coach Bell stays, then you have to keep Coach Bell.
Yeah.
I
would tell Kelly, that's fine. You're taking a little less money. You're making us stay with this guy. We got to have some kind of compromise here.
Damages,
yeah.
Emotional despair.
Oh,
but and that like that's the thing. Like, Kevie Thompson's going to have to go, I believe, go find a comparable player to Kelly Jones,
PB2.
Like someone that is a CB1 somewhere else in a Power Four. I think,
yeah,
that's capable of holding his own on his side of the field. Because Ole Miss essentially said, we're not throwing at Kelly Jones. We'll throw at everybody else.
Yeah.
They did, and they destroyed everybody else.
I'll give you a name. Like, I was just trying to think, like, because, you know, State for a while there had, like, a couple, they had Dantzler and Emerson working together. And remember Maurice Smitherman?
Yeah. Smitherman was solid.
Good player, right? Yeah. You had Dantzler on the other side. You were good.
Yeah.
Smitherman, you know, was he going to get beat every now and then? Sure. But he was a completely respectable cornerback. Go find a guy like that.
Yeah.
Those guys are in the portal. Those guys are gettable for Mississippi State.
But they got to do it.
So State is traveling now. They're on their way. They should already be there, I guess, for the Mayo Bowl. So I would not expect to see any more hires come out, because they'll be locked into to bowl prep at this point. And then
I don't know why this was the time to announce them. I'm kind of glad, because I got so tired of people constantly saying, what are we doing? Why are we sitting around?
I asked Levy about that on Sunday morning. My question was kind of, you know, you hired these two guys that are sort of basically assistants to assistants. Could you see more of that? And he's like, yeah. I think he made it sound like they're going to, like, really invest in not only having the staff, but having guys like Kevie Thompson and Desmond Lindsay. Is that his name?
Yes.
Having guys like that at every position almost. So we'll
see. Yeah, I mean,
those names.
They kind of have.
They have a few of those
but
guys.
Not like. Not guys that you would
recognize, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, nobody knows who AJ Jackson is, but
right.
he works with the offensive line. Everybody knows who Errol Thompson is. There's been a lot of talk that Jet Johnson is going to be coming back to Mississippi.
Yeah, so I feel confident and say, And like that was something
Yeah,
that we
Sport does that too.
reported.
Yeah.
Well, we reported that the day Arnett was hired. We felt like, I mean, it was kind of obvious.
Yeah, and then when Brock was hired, I was like, okay, we see what's happening here. So.
But I think that too, in the bowl game, I think Errol Thompson's probably going to have more of a role in this bowl
Makes
game
sense.
than usual. So, and then it'll be cool to see Errol and Jett. I imagine Errol will stay on. I can't
Yeah.
imagine
No reason
Zach
not to.
Arnett
Yeah.
won't. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's kind of shooting the idea down that State's not willing to invest.
There is
I
an
think we've
investment.
put that away.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The State's just not going to invest in football and stuff like that. That's going away. You don't hire Kevin Johns and Bush Hamden and guys like that if you're not willing
Agreed.
to invest.
Agreed.
So, but I, you know, there's still a couple of things that need to happen for them as far as staffing, but it's a solid staff at this point. It's easily an upgrade from what you've had the last 2 years, and I think that's going to go a long way. Now, you have to go finish in the portal.
Yeah.
You've got to go to the transfer portal and get really good players.
And Lebby said he expects visitors this coming weekend. You know, the portal, he mentioned that the recruiting and personnel staff is staying in Starkville to get ready for the first weekend of the portal. He said his plan is basically they get off the plane and then he'll be in the office the next day to host visitors. And expects to have five or six guys on campus. I think you've already reported a couple of them. The defensive lineman from Temple, Khalil Poteet, I believe is his name. And then you reported last night a safety from Michigan State. Is it Justin Denson? Will be expected to be on campus.
And you can come get this information for 50% off if you sign up for Maroon and White Daily today.
There it is.
Just come check us out.
So, anything else that you reported that you just want to, you know, it's behind a paywall, but you just want to throw it out
No,
there?
I'm good.
Okay. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Two great places to grab lunch or dinner. Closed until after the new year. So, this week. You just have to think about it. You just be sitting at home, and be like, man, I can go for some smoked wings. Hit them up in the year 2026 and go get those smoked wings. If you are going to be in Starkville for basketball, obviously baseball coming up, Two Brothers Smoke Meats is the place you want to go, and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years.
Over 50.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. A new copier, a new printer, anything like that, they've got you taken care of. But more importantly, they got you taken care of long after the sale is made. They are there for you with service after the sale. When something goes wrong, you call the same number you called to get the equipment in the first place. You don't have to worry about dealing with somebody you don't know. You know these people. They've taken care of you before. 601-362-9192. Or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business. Do business. Maroon and Co. is the place to go. As I mentioned earlier, we are getting closer and closer to the start of baseball season. If you need to get some new M over S gear, they've got it at Maroon and Co. Everything Mississippi State, everything Maroon and White, the biggest and best selection in all of Starkville is at Maroon and Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off. That's in store or online at maroonandco.com. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, make sure you go to Maroon and Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Now it's cold outside today, but we're getting, you know, it's the end of December, which means you can get through January and then into February, and then when March it starts to warm up a little bit, it's you gotta get out there and mow the grass. And no better way to do that than with a John Deere mower. John Deere is the Cadillac, the Rolls-Royce, the Bentley of mowers. I don't even know which ones you want to go with. Whatever car you like to put in there. They've got it. And they've got great deals, great financing available, in some cases 0% for up to a half decade. There it is. Go see our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden today in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber is the name you need to know if you are a landowner in the state of Mississippi. What are you trying to do with your land? What decisions do you need to make? You need expert advice. You need to talk to the people at Good Hope Land and Timber. And of course, right now, if you're in the land buying or selling market, Good Hope Land and Timber is there for you as well. An experienced staff that's going to help you make smart, sustainable, and profitable decisions regarding your land. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. Speaking of Good Hope Land and Timber, real quick, we got an email today, this week. I got an email, but it's for both of us. And I can't give the person's name because they are currently a baseball coach at a small school. So they can't basically come out and be like, yeah, I'm a huge diehard Mississippi State guy, right? But he says, he's trying to work his way up, and his dream job obviously would be to be the head coach at Mississippi State. Good luck to you. But he talked about he knows a guy who works at Goat Hope Land and Timber, and that's what jogged my memory. But apparently, he listens to our podcast every day, and he wanted to thank us for doing the pod, and he's like it helps tether him back to Mississippi State. So we appreciate you. We know you know who you are if you're listening. There you go. Appreciate you, man. Speaking of baseball, I wanted to do with you. I had an interview last week. It's been on the podcast feed, but I wanted to bring it to the show because I know some of you guys just listen to the show. And obviously, if it's on YouTube, I'd like to have that on there as well. But I talked to Jacob Rudner from Baseball America. I've made a decision, by the way. I'm not going to do a baseball interview this week because I don't know. We're a little compressed for time. The next one we get, I'm going to probably reach out to Aaron Fitt. We haven't had him on yet. I'm going to be like,
Big
Aaron.
Aaron Fit
I
guy.
mean, Aaron, I've talked to Kendall, I've talked to Mark, I've talked to Jacob, and they all have just been talking about how great State's going to be. I need you to go the other way. I need you to tell me where,
Point out the
point out
holes.
the holes. I need that. I want to hear it. So we'll do that next week. But Jacob was kind enough to join us, talk about some college baseball. We hit on a few things nationally. I've been using these interviews as a chance to get some scouting reports, just some early talks on State's opponents.
Yeah.
So we did a little bit of that, and then, of course, his thoughts on the Diamond Dog. All interviews here on the show brought to you by our friends at Alora Modern Wellness. Alora Modern Wellness is the place. New Year's Eve is coming up. Talk about recovery. You might need it. Well, that's where Alora Modern Wellness comes in. When you're working out, you've got to make recovery part of your plan. You cannot just work out and work out, work out. Your body has to recover. That's where Alora Modern Wellness comes in. A variety of services that get you feeling and looking your best. That's what you've got to be. You've got to remember that, guys. It's not just about hitting the gym. You've got to hit the recovery just as well. Call them at 662-268-9255 or visit them online at aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of their services right there online and get yourself feeling better with Alora Modern Wellness. Go down to my interview with Jacob Rudner of Baseball America. We're going to keep talking baseball all the way to opening day. Jacob Rudner, Baseball America, joins us now. And before we dive into Mississippi State and really even in the SEC, I want to talk about the story you broke yesterday with Penn State baseball. If I mispronounce the name, you can correct me. Janae Sato, a Japanese prospect who you say is the best draft prospect in America for maybe this is the 2027 draft. Is this correct?
Yeah, 2027 draft. Not sure if I would go as far as best prospect in America, but I
Okay.
certainly think that he's the best draft prospect to come over from Japan
Uh-huh.
for the MLB draft. Rintaro Sasaki at Stanford did the same thing where he came over, he made himself eligible for the draft, and it didn't go so well in his first season with the Cardinal. And I think that that kind of put a bad taste into people's mouth as far as this trend goes. Is this a viable path for players who are elite? And this guy, I think, really is. He is a top half of the first round type prospect with
Okay.
high caliber stuff for sure.
So then it kind of begs the question, right? Because the guy who goes to Stanford is a constant player in college baseball, a team that year in, year out, they've won national titles and been to Omaha many times. Why Penn State?
Great question. I think a lot of people immediately go and they say this is an NIL motivated decision and Penn State must have cobbled up together some sort of package.
Which would be, I would immediately, my thought would be, God, it's Mississippi State or LSU or Tennessee would come up with a much bigger package than Penn State, you would think.
You would think. And so I'm here to tell you that that's actually not how this went down. Penn
Okay.
State is home, and I won't even attempt because I'm going to butcher his name, but Penn State is home to the best Japanese collegiate wrestler in the world. He came from Japan. He went to State College. They have shown that they have the infrastructure and the track record to bring in elite Japanese talent, whether it's in baseball or beyond, and allow them to flourish at Penn State University. And I think that that was the main selling point for Sato. They were able to go to him and say, We have the pieces in place to make you successful, whether that's academically, whether that's athletically, from a living situation, and just assimilating into the cultural lifestyle that is, American college campus living. And they're going to be able to make that happen for him. Was there NIL involved? Possibly, but it's much more difficult with international players. That's the first thing that needs to be recognized. And the second is, it really does sound like this kid made a decision based on what he thought was best for him from an institutional level. So how he was going to be able to take classes and learn and kind of move into American culture. And also from a baseball standpoint, he did think that there was, really good pedigree with Mike Gambino and his staff.
That's a fascinating story to see. When I saw you had the story up that you knew where he was going to go, and I was like, okay, I'll wait till tomorrow and we'll see. And then when I saw Penn State, I was like, yeah, I was just shocked. And yeah, it's very interesting the way you lay it all out there. Take me around what we in football would call the power conferences outside of the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC. Who are the favorites in those leagues this year?
Let's start with the ACC because to me, that's the main power broker next to the SEC. They're going to have the most bids to the NCAA tournament other than the SEC. And it's going to be the regulars again. Florida State is positioned to be quite good again. They got Trey Beard at FAU, who's going to probably front their rotation. Miles Bailey, their first baseman, has very early draft upside this year as a draft eligible sophomore. Link Jarrett is now one of the top five paid coaches in the country. He got an extension this offseason when there was some rumors that perhaps Tennessee could try and weasel its way in there and steal him out of Florida State and bring him over to the SEC. So they kept him in the fold. They're going to be good yet again. I think Clemson has a chance to be super competitive. The team, though, that I view as the top sleeper out of the ACC, and I think that this will be reflected in our preseason rankings at Baseball America, is Georgia Tech. James Ramsey, in his first season, inherits what I believe to be an excellent and very deep roster. They have several draft prospects on that team, from Alex Hernandez, the infielder, to obviously Drew Burris, the outfielder, who's going to make an impact at the top of the first round this year if he can continue what he's been able to do for two seasons now in college. You want to move over to the Big 12. That's another league that I think is going to be extremely competitive again. I'm looking at TCU as the top team in that conference. I think that that roster is very mature. Tommy Lepore is one of my favorite aces in the country. Sawyer Strohsnyder is one of my favorite outfielders in the country. That's a good combo to have. And then Arizona State, if you want to name a sleeper, I think has a chance to be very good in the Big 12. The Big 10 is interesting because you're talking about the West Coast Big Ten and the regular Big Ten. And I think that the power will belong to the West Coast yet again. Oregon and UCLA, for me, are the top two teams in the conference. UCLA, I have no problem saying it here because it's going to be the way that it is, will be the number one team on our poll to open the season this year. Went to Omaha with a roster that almost entirely returns. And so those are the teams, across the power conferences that I have my eye on the most so far.
Mississippi State takes on UCLA in the Amegy Bank College Series on March 1st. So, possible Omaha preview when we get to that point. Let's look inside the SEC. And I've been doing these interviews. I want to hit up a couple of states' opponents this season. And let's start with the Vanderbilt Commodores, a team that will come to Starkville. That's the SEC home opener for the Bulldogs on March 20th. I'll be honest, I thought when NIL became a thing, that Vanderbilt might take a step back because, we all know for years they were kind of gaming the system. We'll put it that way. And now everybody can offer it, but it hasn't been that way. Vanderbilt's still maintained themselves as an elite program. What are the Commodores going to look like in 2025?
I think that there's a little bit more uncertainty with Vanderbilt relative to what we've come to expect, especially on the mound. They lost a lot of firepower from last year's team, including two-thirds of their weekend rotation. Connor Fennell returns, and I have a lot of confidence that he's going to be somebody who kind of steps into this big role on the pitching side. I've had some conversations with coaches around the country who view him as one of these like very underrated, maybe not talked about enough pitchers just because of the quality of the stuff and what he's capable of doing. Plus, the competitiveness kind of gives him that edge. At the plate, though, I do think that this is going to be a different Vanderbilt team in a way that makes them look better. I foresee them hitting for a little bit more power than they have in recent years. I know that that's been kind of a bugaboo for these Vanderbilt teams, and Tim Corbin has been very vocal that he wished that his most recent teams had the ability to put the ball over the wall a little bit more. And with guys like Brody Johnston, who is an outstanding power hitter, the question is just whether or not he's going to make enough contact now back for his sophomore year, plus a couple other guys who they got via the transfer portal who are a little bit more, power forward in their offensive approach. I believe that we'll see that shine through, especially with some new hitting coaches in place for the season.
Super Bulldog weekend for Mississippi State, always a big deal. And this year, man, April 24th through the 26th. LSU, the defending national champions, two of the last three the Tigers have won, will head to Starkville with what could be, I'm sure with your preseason poll, it's probably a preseason top five showdown, I would say. What are the Tigers going to look like this year as they try to make it 3 out of 4?
Well, first of all, I would say that that's an accurate early assumption that that's going to be a top five matchup for us in the preseason poll. LSU to me is kind of in an oddly similar position to how it entered last season, just maybe with a little bit more known depth than what it had going into the 2025 championship run. They are still kind of undecided on the mound. You bring back Cason Evans, who was the closer last year. I think there's a really good chance that we'll see him start on Fridays. Cooper Moore from Kansas was a really good transfer addition. I have a feeling we'll see him pitch over the weekends. However, beyond those two, it kind of gets murky as to who's going to occupy a rotation spot versus who's going to be in one of these critical fireman reliever, if not closer roles. And they have a lot of options. So it's not a situation where it's like, who's going to do it because who's capable? It's like you have so many capable guys, just which ones are going to slot into which roles on the mound. And at the plate, I think that they bring back a lot of talent in a way that kind of gives them some certainty that they've honestly been lacking, which sounds weird to say about LSU teams over the last couple of years. Derek Curiel is an outstanding foundational piece. He's going to play center field instead of left for them this year. I think he has a chance to be the first college bat off the board if he continues to perform well. One of the better contact hitters. According to a couple of people who I've had conversations with, he's 15 pounds heavier. He's learning to put the ball in the air a little bit more, so we could see kind of this power surge for a really promising young bat. And then they brought in some pieces from the transfer portal that have done well. Zach York from GCU is somebody who I'm really intrigued by. Good power hitter, but better contact hitter overall, despite kind of the size and what you might think if you looked at him at, just with the eye test.
Mississippi State will finish the season at Texas A&M. Now, a year ago, Texas A&M was the undisputed number one team in the nation. It did not go according to plan for the Aggies. How do they bounce back this year?
Well, first of all, it starts with an absolutely fantastic support system outside of the coaching staff. I think that that is a program that is extremely well resourced from its boosters, and it's put in a position to compete annually. So there really are not a lot of excuses in College Station as it comes to baseball. They have a great roster that was largely constructed through the transfer portal. I don't, I could go through their entire portal class and say something that I like about some of those guys. Chris Hakopian from Maryland is the headliner. He'll play short or third base. Great arm. Gavin Gerhovic, who was hurt all of last year due to a shoulder injury, is back and healthy. Caden Sorrell, the center fielder, was out for the majority of last year due to a lingering hamstring injury. He is back and healthy. The question for me is whether or not Texas A&M will be able to pitch its way to the success that it wants to have this season. They have the pieces and the stuff. The question is, are they going to have the health and the success that comes with those things in order to be able to have what has to be probably a season in which you either host or get real close to that hosting line and then make an impressive, appearance in the NCAA tournament in order to keep this coaching staff intact.
Let's talk about a couple of state's players in particular. You don't see a lot of 6'5" catchers out there, but Mississippi State has one on the roster and Kevin Mawuski, the transfer from Seton Hall. A lot of power in his bat. Is he going to be State's day one catcher? What's the ceiling on him as a player?
I certainly think he has a chance to be. And if you want to talk about ceiling, you kind of put it perfectly. That's a rare bucket. There aren't a lot of backstops who fall into this really tall, really strong, very powerful model. It's just not a common breed at the position. And I think that that's going to allow him to stand out quite quickly. One thing that is important, there's two different types of conversations. We can talk about him as a pro prospect. And I think that there are a lot of things that come with that. Will he be able to stick at the position? Is he going to hit enough to get to his power against pro pitching? And then there's the what kind of damage can this guy do in the college ranks conversation, which is where I try my best to live in the preseason.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to be really good just because it is easier for players like him to get to the power in game. He isn't facing as the kind of advanced pitching that he might see in the pros. And I do think that he's a serviceable enough backstop that he's going to stick at the position in college and be able to do a really good job back there. So I am excited about him. I do think that he's going to be kind of one of the more, preeminent college power hitting catchers. And again, I think that he'll do fine enough at the position in order to not cost state runs there.
And then a guy that State brings back from a season ago is Garrick Fry, who, had some trouble finding a position, but his bat is unquestionable. Where does he fit into this lineup for the Bulldogs?
I think that kind of remains to be seen, and I'll be curious to track exactly where things line up in the preseason. There is a lot of talent on this roster. And if I could just give one broad takeaway, I know you didn't ask for this, but
Go ahead.
if I could give one broad takeaway about the Mississippi State roster, it's that they have a ton of options at every position. There are a number of different combinations that can be put together in terms of defensive alignment in order to maximize the amount of plus bats that get into that lineup. And so I think that he's one of the kinds of guys who probably fall into the category of, we're not 100% sure where he's going to fit in defensively. I think that there are some, inklings of what could be the end destination there. But the reality is that Coach O'Connor is going to do what he needs to do to get as many quality bats on the field as he can. And I don't know that the defensive alignment is going to come at the cost of that. So to answer your question kind of indirectly, I'm not 100% sure yet where he's going to line up. I'm just confident that they're going to do their what they can in order to get his bat into play.
Baseball America put out its top 40 rising 2027 draft prospects, and Duke Stone was on there from Mississippi State. That's a guy who had a big summer this offseason. I look at him, guys like him, Charlie Foster, even to a certain extent, Ryan McPherson and Ben Davis, who've had a bigger role last year. Mississippi State's got a lot of high ceiling pitchers, it feels like. Do you feel confident those guys will turn, potential into production?
I do, and I'm glad you brought up Duke Stone in particular. The stuff is so good. And that was one of the things that we fell in love with kind of when we were doing the scout at Baseball America and putting together these rankings and lists. We were looking at the raw stuff, and he's one of the guys that just really stands out for what he can do to a baseball. He's able to manipulate it in so many different ways. Plus, he's athletic and he moves really well on the mound, and those things get us excited. And I think that that's kind of a theme that exists throughout this Mississippi State pitching staff. It's a deep group. I think it's going to be able to have that combination that you really need at the top end of college baseball between premium stuff and getting results out of these guys. Because as you are familiar, and you and I have talked about it before, there are so many examples of guys, especially in the SEC, who trot out there with premium stuff on the mound, but don't necessarily translate it to the ERA or how it impacts winning for their college team. And I think that this is a Mississippi State team that will have the right blend. It's going to be able to pitch really well. It's also going to look good on the pro prospect side in terms of what does the stuff do, how does it move, and what are these guys capable of doing when they move on to the pro level. So it's an impressively deep pitching staff that checks a lot of boxes.
Should be an incredible season. I really can't wait for opening day. We're only, I guess, now 40 some, I don't know, it's like 50 some odd days away. And we are counting them down here in Starkville, as I know you are as well, Jacob. Hope to see you in Starkville sometime soon, my friend. And we'll talk some more baseball very soon. Jacob Rudner, Baseball America, man. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
So, part of the interview, I know you haven't heard it yet.
I actually did.
Oh, you did listen. Okay.
It was on the.
That's right. The Penn State thing, I don't get it. Like, he explained it.
He's got a friend that's a wrestler
Yeah.
at Penn State,
Yeah.
which still, I mean,
I get it.
I guess the thinking there is like he just doesn't know very many people over here, so he goes with someone that's.
I understand, but like, man, somebody's got to be in his ear like, hey, what kind of development are you getting at Penn State? You're
Yeah.
not even playing, you're not even playing top competition for the
Well,
most
I
part.
think what we're going to see is a Medina Ocott situation, and
Yeah.
somebody's probably going to get in his
Neck here.
ear. Yeah. And
That makes a lot.
tell him
But the other side of that is money.
he knows nothing about NIL, transfer
Exactly.
portal. He doesn't know anything about
He's
them.
probably, I mean, State, LSU, Arkansas would have probably all been like, hey, we can come up with a good six-figure deal for you to come here. I just don't understand. You made a good point there. Like, next year.
Yeah.
Now, I got to see, like, is he
So,
draft eligible
an
next year?
agent is going to
I don't know
latch
how you're going to
into
get on him.
him
Yeah. I agree with that.
tell him, and he's going to get soaked into this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to last, I don't think.
We've been having some good luck letting future Brian have the night off, so we'll do that again. Mississippi State taking on Alabama State tonight. We'll talk about that a little later in the week and get ready for the start of SEC play this weekend. Tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. Get them in. Send in your Rumblings resolutions. Whatever your resolution is, we'll be happy to talk about that. We'll see if we can hold you to it as well. My resolution, obviously, is going to be to eat more beef, but I got to keep losing weight. That's number one for me. Got to keep going.
Well, beef is healthy.
It's lean. It's good for you. So, talk to you guys tomorrow for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.